We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Memories have been made.
Halliburton. A deep three for the lead! And baby!
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away! Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game!
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake, shoots, and hits!
But this is Indiana.
Throws it down!
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go! Go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison. Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci. Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
All right, everybody, joining us now from the wake-up call with KB and Andy on 107.5 and 93.5 The Fan. It is Andy Sweeney making his Setting the Pace debut with Fauci and I here. So, Andy, thanks so much. Welcome to Setting the Pace. How are you?
I'm honored. When I got the DM, do you want to go on? I said, I absolutely want to go on. Yeah, thanks for having me. What's up?
Hey, not a whole lot. You know, we're recording this Tuesday night after the Pacers got their second victory in a row with Pascal Siakam, Tyrese Halliburton together. So that's a good sign. Things seem to be heading in the right direction, but we are recording, we're releasing this on Thursday morning, the day of trade deadline. And so I thought, let's talk about some stuff that's been thrown out there up to this point on Tuesday. If there's anything else that happens on Wednesday, maybe we'll touch on it later in the show. But for this part right here, we know right now that the two big names surrounding Indiana in terms of people that could be moved, Obi Toppin and Buddy Hield. And I know Buddy Hield's been a popular name on your guys' show to talk about. So
sure.
I'm just kind of curious, you know, what are your overall thoughts on what the Pacers should do with Buddy Hield?
Aren't the Pacers like a super interesting team, like in all of this? You could make, to get to Buddy in a second, you could make compelling arguments in a lot of ways. Like KB with me has been like this with the Colts and the Pacers. And he's like, basically, if you're not going to get, you know, anything for these guys, like, are you okay with just walking away at the end of the season and not getting something for Buddy Hield? The other part of it is, you know, you're bringing, you know, with the amount of guys they have on this roster, then you start getting into, you know, what are you bringing back in any trade? Because you go out and get Siakam. I mean, don't you guys kind of feel, especially you throw in an injury to what Philly's having to deal with? Like, aren't you sitting there saying, wait a minute, if we get the right kind of matchup here, we can do something this season, right? So you're having to balance the now, which matters when you haven't been, you know, winning at any sort of top level. Then you have to balance the future as well, combined with what you gave up to get Pascal Siakam, right? Combined with you have two contracts that are very movable, do you not? I find Buddy to be fascinating because, boy, I tell you, the relationship with Halliburton is there. Hey, we really wanted to sign you before the season. We couldn't figure out a price to match, but if they could have a few months ago, they would have, and Buddy Hield would be locked in, and who knows how that would affect everything. Buddy's difficult because at some point he's going to break out, and on top of it, with injuries and you get into the playoffs, Buddy's a whole other option, is he not? To just throw away that option and get rid of that option. Boy, I sure got to know what I'm getting back, but I know there's a lot of fans that look at it and say, listen, if you're not going to get anything, he's slumping right now. He hasn't had that great of a season. On top of it, are you just going to let him walk at the end of the year? Boy, it's a difficult one. Your answer is as good as mine. Like, I feel like there's probably two or three different narratives out there on what the Pacers should do, and with somebody like Buddy, I'm not sure there's a right answer. I don't know what to do with Buddy Hield. Do you?
I really don't. You know, time is ticking. It just feels that his value is probably at its lowest right now with the trade deadline approaching. So you don't want to just make a trade just to make a trade and maybe get something that's not going to help you, such as, like, you know, a second round pick or anything like that. But if there is a move out there that can shore up the Pacers defense even a little bit, it feels that that could be a big difference maker, because you see the style of play Indiana's playing. People wonder, is it sustainable? But obviously, if you move a guy like Buddy Hield, you're going to take a hit on the offensive side, especially from a three-point standpoint. So, you know, it's tough to just let someone walk if you are Indiana. You want to make sure that you've done everything you can to bolster this team. But it kind of just feels that this team has something. Some could label it. But they have something going now that you want to be able to capitalize and say, let's give this team every chance that they have to be able to make some noise in the playoffs. Now, do you think this team is better off? And you know, when you kind of mentioned it of, hey, you know what? With Buddy, at least maybe you can for sure get in the playoffs and do that. Or is it, you know what? If they can shore up that defense even just a little bit, that's got to be the top priority.
So I am probably, and this is where you guys may even disagree with me, I'm not in love in thinking that I have to bring Buddy Hield back. That's probably where, you know, that's probably where I am, that he's a good player. He's a fine player. I mean, even, you know, we talk about recording this now after the Houston game. He played 24 minutes, you know, and that's a sizable chunk. And he did hit a couple threes, which was nice. He was 2 of 4, which is nice because he struggled with that. But, man, I have been conflicted on him since I started in Indianapolis. Like, what do you do with Buddy Hield? If you can bring something back defensively, and again, that's the problem is we're talking about a trade of what's on the other side, right? If you can bring something back, though, that makes your defense better. I mean, we saw a layup line in this Houston game. I mean, yes, did we did. Not, especially in that first half? I mean, it was a layup line. So if you could bring something back, you know, I think Siakam has been nice defensively. Let's see how the analytics kind of work that out over time, guarding different positions. Then I think you do it. Now, the problem is, and I know there are some different names out there, how long do you want to commit yourself to? Right? I mean, I think the perfect scenario would be a guy that you could bring in, you get him at the back end of this year and next year, right? But if you start committing, and I know Andrew Wiggins is a name, you start committing over $25 million over 2 or 3 years, even though you might be able to move somebody at the end of their contract, you start doing that, and now you've limited yourself, right? If you bring in someone who's up over 20-some million, Then you know, especially you keep the pieces that you want to keep. Now you kind of have your three-headed monster for the next couple years, and the Pacers would then be committed. Okay, we're locked into kind of basically this roster the next few years. That's the big discussion here, is not only the rest of this season, but what do you want to be the next two seasons, and how do you weigh that up to what you think you can do in the playoffs? The bad thing to all of this is, and I think you mentioned it, is with injuries specifically to Halliburton, there's just no way before the deadline that you're going to have all the data you need about this kind of new look team ever since they got Pascal Siakam. That's the bad luck of having a Haliburton injury, right, when they did. It really is.
Yeah, you definitely have a small sample size of what this team looks like when fully healthy, and you don't really get a chance to see what you could become. So that does make a lot of sense. Now, I did want to bring this up because Jake Fisher reported on Tuesday night before the game that the Philadelphia 76ers are monitoring Buddy Hield. They have a lot of expiring contracts. So there could be a deal there if the Pacers are just kind of looking to maybe get off Buddy Hield, acquire a few second-round picks. Maybe they can get somebody like a K.J. Martin who's making like $2 million with Marcus Morris's money to match Buddy Hield's contract. Not saying that's the perfect deal or anything like that, but that's at least something just to look at if they want to invest maybe in a young guy that's in that power forward spot. But then again, you kind of are already in a logjam there at that position. So it's interesting. Now, you did bring up Andrew Wiggins, Andy, and I want to go back to that because with the way the Pacers' salary cap is set up moving forward, they don't have a lot of flexibility once they get Tyrese and Pascal on these max deals. So having someone that makes a good amount of money like an Andrew Wiggins does help the Pacers a little bit more than not having that type of player on the roster. Because if you do want to go out there and make a trade to get your third star, potentially having that huge salary to attach that's on a contract that's getting closer to ending is a little bit more appealing than where he's at right now. So I understand like the cons to it because it's like $30 million, I think, in that final year in 2026. But if you have that plus, let's just say another pick to throw out there or two picks and you can go out there and get that guy, you might see yourself in the same situation that you saw yourself when you got Pascal Siakam. So I don't think it's the worst idea, but I definitely see the cons of it just because it's a lot of money. And Andrew Wiggins has really been bad the last year and a half. That's the big question mark is, can he revive himself and be the Andrew Wiggins we saw in the NBA Finals 2 years ago, or at least a shell of that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Wiggins as well is, you know, you think offensively, at least for him, let's move him aside defensively and what he can do, because there are many options they could bring in on this team, and it's going to be a better defensive option. We would agree with that, right? that's not a huge bar that you're going to have to jump over. That's just real talk, okay? It's all we understand that defensively that they have challenges. They're going to have challenges. And by the way, I actually commend them whether they go on and make a bunch of moves or not. I mean, I commend them for trying things. They are being as active as anyone, right? Like, don't you feel that way? Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it ends up being that way or not. I mean, the Wiggins thing, you're right on, you know, how he could be used kind of down the road. I just wonder exactly what he has left. Like you said, the last year and a half. And, you know, I guess for me, you know, defensively, he'll be better. Offensively, it would only worry me that, you know, if he were on a team that was a bad team, right, you could say, let's get him in here with Rick Carlisle and Haliburton and the extra possessions in the way this Pacer team plays, right? And then offensively, it'll come around, right? Like, he won't be bad offensively in our system. Our system kind of blossoms everyone offensively. That would be the hope. The only flip side of that is, he has played with Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, right? Mm-hmm. And the last year and a half has been rough. Now, I know the personal issues last year, kind of the downplay this year. I mean, you could even add, and I haven't heard a lot of this, hey, bring him here. He'll resurrect part of his career, right? You can get him back to where he was at the All-Star level a couple years ago, and then you bring in a defense of side that's there. You have a contract that could be very convincing to somebody in a couple years. If nothing else, you have a couple years of Andrew Wiggins, which is better maybe than what you've had. So these are the big picture items that they got to look at. It's a difficult one. It really is.
It truly is, because, you know, when we talked about Buddy's value being at its lowest, this is the lowest that Andrew Wiggins' value has been at. And this contract now is looked at as, you know, a negative contract. I don't think that Golden State would be looking for, you know, a first round pick at this point. I think they'd be looking to get some money off the books and, you know, to see what else they could bring in on short term. But a player like Andrew Wiggins doesn't really come along often for the Indiana Pacers. This is how they make a lot of their moves, through trades. And I think that when you talk about resurrection, that seems to happen a lot in Indiana, rolling the dice on players that maybe couldn't hit their full potential elsewhere, whether it is an Aaron Nesmith or it is a Jalen Smith or plenty of other guys that have gone on to win Most Improved Player of the Year. However, I do fear that what's going on with Andrew Wiggins is far more of a mental situation than it is a physical. It's not like he's coming off of an injury. And while he is not in the same boat of a Ben Simmons, I felt that the Nets took that risk on Ben Simmons. The contract was big, but the talent was big too. It did not work out. Now, if you're Indiana, it's tough to take those big swings because you can't really afford to miss. Because if they can't move this contract, you're now locked in where, you know, you got Siakam on a max, hopefully. You got Haliburton on a max. And then Wiggins making near $30 million. You then run into tough decisions. What happens when a Benedict Mathurin is up for a payday or anything like that? It gets a little bit tricky. But if you're Indiana, is that enough to say, when would we ever have this opportunity to do something like this again? To have him under contract is at least what you talked about. Someone who you're not just trading for to, you know, the next couple of months. It is a true buy low, but I do worry that, you know, it isn't a, he's playing with Hall of Famers right now in Golden State. Those guys are going to keep you, you know, in track. In Indiana, like, yeah, there's some veterans, but not really a Steph Curry, a Klay Thompson, a Draymond Green. So do you feel that Indiana could be that type of scenario where he could be able to get back to form? Or do you kind of feel more leaning towards that his best basketball may have been behind him?
If you made me choose right now, I would probably lean towards his best basketball has been behind him. I would add as well, and you know, this is nothing against you guys' analysis, but when you start a relationship here with a sports relationship with Andrew Wiggins, and one of the key pieces is, do we think we'll be able to move this in a couple years?
Yeah.
You gotta ask yourself on the front end, how are we entering this sports relationship? Are we entering it hoping that the end, you know, the divorce isn't messy, right? Like, you don't want to ever enter. I'm not saying we are. I'm saying that is a huge component of taking on a huge deal like his is. There's no doubt about it. And the other thing I would say is, Pascal Siakam, there was similar analysis of when is somebody like this going to be available to us? Do you feel that way with Wiggins? You mentioned that, you know, that could be a narrative here. Pascal obviously is many steps above, right? We understand. And look what he's done. Look what he did Tuesday night. Just look what he has done his short time here with the Pacers. Do we feel that Wiggins fits that mold of, well, if we don't pounce now, like, I understood, Pascal, let's take this risk because we're not going to have this opportunity, perhaps, if he goes into free agency, and we're just not going to have this opportunity. You know, I remember Bobby Marks saying a couple weeks ago, there's not a lot of guys like Siakam that are just available. So when you get a chance to go get one, even if you're giving up some future picks and capital, you go do that. Do you feel that way with Wiggins, you know, to give up assets somewhere else? Do you feel that you bring him in and you do so because on a normal free agent might not view Indiana, you get him in your fold? I'm not sure I do.
I just don't think that Wiggins has that same type of ceiling for like Siakam where you had to pounce. But the one thing that I was going to say before is like, I felt that they kind of started that type of relationship on that foot with Bruce Brown of like, we're going to overpay. But
yep,
we could flip this contract. Now, obviously, Wiggins is owed closer to about $85 million over the next 3 years, which is far more than Bruce Brown. But you don't get Siakam. I mean, I guess you could get Siakam without Bruce Brown, but that contract helped be that filler. And that was important there. However, you know, Wiggins, obviously, it's 3 years left. So you don't want to go in short term with that and still have 3 years left on that deal.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off that too. Like, you know, losing Bruce Brown, he's a really good defender. And so now you're relying on Andrew Nembhard, which I think Rick Carlisle even said on Tuesday morning with you guys that he's your best point of attack defender, best at navigating screens. And, you know, while Aaron Nesmith can do it and Pascal Siakam can do it, and, you know, they're good defenders, they're not able to guard the quicker guards as well as an Andrew Nembhard. So you know, missing Bruce Brown does hurt a little bit because you need someone that can do that. And I just go back a couple of years ago to that NBA Finals when you saw Andrew Wiggins guarding Jason Tatum, guarding Jaylen Brown. And you know he can do it because he's a wing with size. And it's hard to find wings like that that can really impact the game. You know, you really like what Nesmith has done. And obviously Pascal bringing him in here. But, like, I understand, like, what Buddy brings offensively. But my thought at the end of the day is always, Andy, come playoff time, can I trust Buddy Hield defensively? Can I trust Andrew Wiggins defensively? And I feel like I can to a certain degree. But I also know Rick Carlisle. I trust Rick Carlisle enough as a head coach to not allow Buddy Hield to kind of, or excuse me, not allow Andrew Wiggins to play poorly and continue to play. I think that he'll be tough on him and kind of coach him hard. And if Wiggins doesn't respond to that, then they will move off of him eventually. But I think maybe just getting out of that environment in Golden State, maybe there's a lot of pressure. Maybe a smaller market like Indiana could take some of that pressure off of him. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. Defensively, though, I just feel better about, hey, I've seen him at least do it. I can trust him that way to guard. Because if you're going to get a deep run in the playoffs, you're going to need people to throw at people. And if all you really got is Nimhard and Nesmith, fouls will come quick, and now you're relying on Hield, Mathurin, McConnell, who's undersized, Halliburton. Like, that doesn't make me excited.
I think the scenario that scares everybody is, and maybe I'm wrong, you guys tell me, you follow this team longer than I have, obviously. I think the thing that scares you is you hold the line, right? And you hold the line and you go into the playoffs, and what happens is what you just said. You get into a playoff series where Buddy's not hitting shots and he's a complete defensive liability. And then we look back and say, well, you know, a couple months ago, you could have got fill in the blank, right? You could have made up something. Oh, you know, something with Shams or Woj or somebody will put out there. Well, this was kind of close. These were the players taken. You're like, well, hell, we could have had that given that Buddy was, you know, two for 15 in the series and only played, you know, 12 minutes a game or whatever it was. They are balancing. What the Pacers are doing is so difficult. There are teams that know they stink and they're out of it, right? There are teams that know that they're really good, and so they're going to make a move. Philly, if they want to make a move, well, why would they want to make a move? Well, Joel Embiid, they know they're in a tenuous situation with the playoffs and everything else. But the Pacers are in the middle, and they understand that they're not yet upper level, but they also understand that it's so fickle that they have to be above a bunch of other teams. And then you throw a team, you know, teams are Miami, you know, a couple games behind them. You think of a team like the Miami Heat, and then you throw in two factors, the Philly factor of the injury, and then you throw in, it's got to be said, that they have played good teams in the Eastern Conference really hard. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to Milwaukee, right? That goes back to them being kind of the foundation piece of what happened to Adrian Griffin there in Milwaukee. So I think the Pacers are actually in the most unique spot perhaps in the entire NBA, that do they pounce and make a big splash? Do they stand where they are, which is fine? How much do they look to the now compared to the future with a couple expiring contracts that are out there, a couple deals that would make a lot of sense? And how good can they be? Can they win one series? Can they win two series? Can they win one series and then make it really tough in that second round? Can they not win a series? Who do they match up well with? There's some teams above them that they match up well with, that they would take teams. Like, I think they would give Milwaukee everything they could handle in a playoff series. I absolutely do. So, man, they are in a situation. What puts them over the top this year and then can help next year? I've said this on air. The Siakam deal made too much sense. It reminded me a little bit of, like, the New York Yankees when they got Giancarlo Stanton. You got to take him. You're getting him for nothing, right? I mean, Siakam, what you got him for, I know it's picks and everything. That was easy. Now comes the, hey, there's one more swing you can take here. When do you take it? Is it this year, offseason, next year? To me, that's the million-dollar question, because you're not going over the luxury tax. That's the million-dollar question for the Pacers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that is the big question, because now when you're talking about that next swing, is it more of maybe a single? You know, and right now you look at this roster, a guy like Obi Toppin is someone that you have a hard decision to make in this offseason. He's a restricted free agent. If you're going to sign Siakam to a max deal, and then you have Jairus Walker, who still can't find playing time, I just feel that a guy like Obi Toppin is someone who is having a career year. He is, but you're starting to see his minutes have been scaled back. I don't know what his role could be come playoff time. Is that perhaps more of a player that you feel could be moved in a smaller deal that doesn't kind of shake up this Pacers team? Because, you know, right now for Buddy, you could make an argument to say, hey, you know what, his three-point shooting, his spacing, very vital, great teammate, you know, the coaches love him, all of that stuff. Maybe you don't bring him back. But for Obi Toppin, it's more of a, you know, it feels that he's kind of, you know, not as, he's got some good traits to him, but it also feels that he's not irreplaceable. Do you think the Pacers maybe go in a smaller move, perhaps moving Obi Toppin?
Yeah, I mean, don't you guys think if you said one thing that makes sense, it would be that? It would probably be the Obi Toppin route of, mm-hmm. hey, let's see what we can do with him. I can't imagine bringing him back with the logjam they have. I think I know Jalen Smith can play more of the five, but I mean, would you rather have Jalen Smith or Obi Toppin? I would rather have Jalen Smith. I think a lot of people would, especially for the number for a year or so, especially for the number. And again, he's on a player option. We'll see, but especially on the number, I think there. And then you mentioned, I mean, Jairus Walker, I mean, game one next year, that guy better be able to play in the NBA. Like this year, you got the red shirt year, and it was understandable. You were winning games. And again, everyone understood Jairus Walker, it's going to take a year. It's a young guy, he's developing his game. But I mean, there was a couple weeks ago, he was entering the game before Obi Toppin. I mean, that's a reality. That's something that happened. So, yeah, I mean, to me, Obi Toppin in a small move would make more sense than taking a big swing. Although, like we've already laid out, there's a bunch of pros and cons in taking a swing with a guy like Andrew Wiggins. There really is. But, I mean, Obi Toppin would be the guy.
Yeah, to me it makes sense. I mean, I can make the case for both guys, but I can also see the Pacers just staying pat, keeping this team together. Like we talked about earlier, they haven't had a large sample size to really see what this team can do fully healthy. And then you kind of see what areas they need to adjust after a playoff run. Maybe they attack a weakness in Indiana's like, okay, we got to figure out what we need to do here. And I'm sure the Pacers front office is very aware of their limitations with the current players they have on their roster, as they've seen this team give up 70 plus points in the first half multiple times this year. So obviously they got to get better defensively, but it's not going to happen overnight. So I do understand the Obi Toppin thing. I know there's a lot of fans that want to see Jairus Walker play, and they think, oh, if we trade Obi Toppin, then Jairus Walker is going to start playing more. I would, you know, push the pause button on that. I guarantee you come playoff time, they'll shorten the rotation. You'll see Pascal Siakam play 36 plus minutes at that spot. And then for the minutes that he doesn't play, they'll probably go Aaron Nesmith like they did earlier this year. And even when Obi Toppin was starting, Rick Carlisle closed, I don't know how many games with Aaron Nesmith at the four over him. I just think that, you know, as much as Rick Carlisle wants to praise him for how great of a pro that he is and all this and that, there's a reason why he got benched and the Pacers started playing absolutely better with Jalen Smith at the starting power four next to Miles Turner. That's a clunky fit. It's not a great fit, but it was better than Obi Toppin because Obi Toppin is a lackluster rebounder. He is an inconsistent scorer, and he's best utilized as a spread, like as a floor spreader and getting out in transition. And if he's not doing that, you know, rebounding wise, he did have a couple of games there where he played better, Andy, but that was an emphasis from Coach Carlisle. I haven't asked him that after one of the games. I'm like, was that an emphasis with Obi Toppin to make him rebound before leaking out? And he said yes. Like, he didn't elaborate anymore, but it was a scheme change they did because he was too busy trying to leak out for dunks that they were just getting dominated on the glass. So I just feel like Obi Toppin, it was a good experiment for two bad second-round picks to see what he could become. But at this point, you've already got your power forward and Pascal Siakam moving forward. You drafted Jairus Walker 8th overall. Seems like the writing's on the wall to me.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Obi, you know, the Knicks didn't just have use for him, right? I mean, that's why, you know, when he came to the Pacers, I love what you said there. It's like not a reclamation project, but hey, is there something there that another team just had a much better player at that position that they just kind of forgot about Obi Toppin, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe they didn't know how to utilize him. We're going to play a much more up-tempo game or something like that. And, I mean, he's had his moments. But I think there's two things. When you look at these guys, Obi is the last guy you would think of. We're going to sign him in the offseason. I got to be honest. Every time there's any analysis, it's always, well, you know, there's a decision at the end of the year with Obi Toppin. And then they, you know, list Buddy Hield. And he's like, no, there's not a decision at the end of the year with these. Now you're playing with big contracts, right? Now you got a bunch of big contracts that you're thinking of, that you have on the roster, you know, the max deal with Siakam. If, you know, we mentioned Wiggins or someone else, if you're going to make a move with a guy with substantial money on the roster, there's going to be an odd man out. There's no emotional connection. He's had some nice games, some nice dunks. He's been a team guy, hasn't complained when he, you know, decided when he had to come off the bench, right? Didn't complain when Jairus Walker played in front of him. They go out, they go get Siakam. You mentioned Jalen Smith. And I would also say to this, you know, besides, are you going to re-sign him? Yeah, you're right. I mean, the one thing we have not talked about with all this, whether it's Buddy, whether it's Obi, is when you get into the playoffs, and this is just, you know, the Pacers haven't been there every year, so we don't know, is how is Rick Carlisle going to work these lineups? Like, you know, you see that a lot in college basketball. Someone will try to play 9-10 guys, you get into the March Madness, and they're playing 6. They're playing 7. Obviously, the Pacers won't have a 6-man or a 7-man rotation, but how small is that lineup? I mean, I think that's valid. And if you named me a guy who would be an odd man out if everyone is healthy come playoff time, Obi Toppin would be squarely at the top of my list. Squarely at the top of it.
That is my fear. I can't see the Pacers playing more than 9 guys come playoff time, and I just feel that, you know, Obi, Isaiah Jackson, those are probably going to be the guys, you know, on the outside looking in. And if you know you're not going to bring him back, you definitely want to pick up the phone a couple times. But if at the trade deadline, but if the Pacers don't make a move, they still have an open roster spot. They do have an option for a buyout, candidate, anyone who could be hitting, you know, free agency. I think that the way that the NBA structured things, there's a lot of teams that can't sign guys making above $12 million. So that is an option for the Pacers. But if they are to just stand put, do you think fans would be disappointed, or is it, hey, look at what we just did less than a month ago, bringing in a guy like Siakam when you did take that big swing? I think it's natural for fans to always want a little bit more, but sometimes too much is too much. And you don't want to shake this team up, you know, that much. Would you think fans would be disappointed if they didn't make another trade?
Okay, I don't think fans – here's my theory on this. I think it will be a lot of revisionist history. I think if they stay where they are, right, and maybe, like you say, there's a little tinker here or there, and that could be something that ends up working out down the stretch this year or in the future, my opinion is they will second guess it. Because my guy JMB, I'll give him credit, he always yells at us that you got to live in the now a little bit. And so I think you can actually – this goes back to the Pacers being so interesting. I think you can sell – hey, we need to see what this group can do together and healthy. And hey, we played well against Boston or Milwaukee or whatever. Maybe let's go see what we got here, right? And having more options, and this is where Buddy would come into play, having more options is a good thing. And so I think if the Pacers didn't do anything, went into the postseason, and they had this core, knowing that someone like Buddy Hield probably would walk and you wouldn't get anything for it, I think on the front end, you could absolutely sell it to fans, and you could sell it to me, quite frankly. Where it will bite them is if they go in the playoffs and they stink it up. We all know that. If they go in the playoffs and Buddy isn't very good and you didn't get anything for him and you end with this sour note in your mouth, then it's going to be a bunch of revisionist history. That would be my opinion on what we're going to see.
And that wouldn't be the first time it's happened here with Indiana Pacer fans. You can go back to the Chris Duarte draft pick. I mean, a lot of people hated it at the time. Then he had a really strong rookie season, and then he got injured and never really bounced back. And everybody's like, man, we could have had, you know, Moses Moody, Trey Murphy III. There's a lot of different names out there. Everybody always goes back and makes fun of the TJ Leaf pick when they could have had OG Anunoby or John Collins, right?
Poor so, TJ Leaf.
Yeah, I mean, what a terrible draft pick that was. I mean, my goodness, that one's one that will live in infamy here for Pacer fans. But, you know, as we kind of wrap this up, there's been a couple other names that have been thrown out there linked to the Pacers of late. Isaac Okoro from the Cavaliers and Royce O'Neal from the Brooklyn Nets. Curious your thoughts on if either of those two players move the needle at all for you.
Okay, so Okoro, I remember watching him a lot in college. You know, then he had the knee injury and everything else. I was reading, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, that they think on the open market, he has, 1 year left on his deal, I believe. I'd have to pull it up here.
He'll be a restricted free agent after this year.
Restricted free agent after this year, that he could maybe command up to 14 mil. Something like that, you know, and that's a lot. I don't know if that's what he would actually get. I mean, a good young defender. So, for instance, I mean, you guys would view him as less scoring upside, much younger, not having to worry about is he kind of washed version of Andrew Wiggins, right? Mm-hmm. And at least 13 million, 12 million, maybe less. So a chunk less. He would be cheaper. He'd be younger. Now he's not, you know, his scoring numbers have not been anything close to what Wiggins has done. And obviously Wiggins has been an all-star and those sorts of things, but you would hope, hey, he'll be able to score double figures and he'd be, you know, kind of right now in the marketplace, perhaps an undervalued defender. I could get with him if they decide to make some sort of move. Restricted free agency, you'd have some flexibility there as well.
Yeah, in my opinion, I feel a guy like Okoro is someone that the Pacers had interest in a couple of years ago when they made that Caris LeVert trade. I think they were trying to get Isaac Okoro, and they could not. Cleveland wouldn't part with him. Now it feels that Cleveland, they look at their roster, you know, they have other players that are, you know, far more of a priority. You know, when you're Donovan Mitchell's, your Evan Mobley's, your Jared Allen's, Darius Garland, and so on. So I do think that he could be moved because they probably won't bring him back. I view him as a not as good Aaron Nesmith, you know, good defender. Also, he's having a good 3-point shooting year. Okoro shooting 38% from three, career high. So I think that that's the type of player that if you can trade an Obi Toppin, maybe a second round pick, something like that, I think that that would benefit Indiana this year to shore up defensively. I think that Okoro could bring some of those qualities that Indiana's lacking. That's the type of move that I would very much be on board for, because now you can have that option to, yeah, like you mentioned, bring him back a restricted free agency, a number maybe, I don't know, 12 to 14 million, like you said, something in that range, but you're not hampering your books for the near future. So
right.
That's the type of move that I'm on board with. But or Royce O'Neal for just taking a flyer on, good defensive player. You let him walk in free agency most likely, but it doesn't shake anything up. You know, Alex, you know, to pivot to you, are either of those players kind of in line for what you could see happening for the Pacers?
I mean, Royce O'Neal is a better defender than Buddy Hield. I think he's pretty cheap. He's on an expiring contract, I believe. So good friends with Donovan Mitchell. If you're trying to get Donovan Mitchell to the Pacers, like, hey, let's go get Royce O'Neal. It's another reason to keep him, right? No, I'm kidding, obviously. But, you know, the Obi Toppin for Isaac Okoro, that trade does work salary-wise. The Pacers would be taking on like $2 more million, but they're still under the tax, so it wouldn't hurt them that much. So that could be an interesting piece as well. It just, then at that point, you got a lot of 6'5" guys on this roster that are kind of masquerading as small forwards. And that's why I'm a little bit more intrigued by just like the idea of Andrew Wiggins. I don't really think I'm intrigued by Andrew Wiggins and who he actually is, but like the idea of who he could become. So that's why I defend it a little bit more, even though I don't love it. And I'm perfectly fine if they don't make that decision. I just, if they made it, I could see why. And I would be interested to see what it looked like. But I think Okoro is young enough that it does make sense moving forward. If you wanted to kind of have him as like your backup small forward to an Aaron Nesmith, it wouldn't be a bad idea just because I think he is shooting like 38% from three, the best of his career so far. So he is kind of getting better at that. Still not great, not a lot of attempts, but solid player. Royce O'Neal, just a very good veteran. I think someone like that would be more of a stable decision in terms of like trying to get your playoff resume a little bit stronger in terms of guys you can trust. And that's what I think it really comes down to. Can you trust these guys come playoff time? Royce O'Neal, I think you can. Isaac Okoro, I think you've seen him in some playoff matchups already where he's just a non-threat from outside. It's like playing on 4-on-5 on offense. And if you have him and McConnell out there together, whoo, That could be 3-on-5 with the lack of shooting from those two guys. So I'd probably stay away from Okoro, even though the idea is nice. I think Royce O'Neal maybe makes a little more sense to me.
Alex, here's the thing. Like, you or somebody, you're running out of time. Someone's got to lift and throw out the Andrew Wiggins and be the great Andrew Wiggins backer, the truther. You got to stand behind. It sounds like you almost want to stand behind Andrew Wiggins, but you're not ready to do it.
Exactly. That's how it's, I did that for DeAndre Ayton.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I've learned my lesson. But I still believe that DeAndre Ayton with Rick Carlisle and Tyrese Halliburton would put up a lot better numbers than what he's doing in Portland, because he doesn't really have a point guard. Like, Malcolm Brogdon's not the point guard that Tyrese Halliburton is. I think Ayton would have ridiculous numbers here at the Pacers. I don't know if it would amount to as much winning, but I think he'd be closer to 20 and 10 with like two blocks a game, and you'd feel better about it than you do with what you've seen with him in Portland. But I'm not going to die on that hill. I've already admitted, like, the Miles decision was better, cheaper contract, made a lot more sense. If the Pacers were going to get Pascal Siakam and DeAndre Ayton was on this team still, have a good feeling DeAndre Ayton be in Toronto right now.
Yeah. You're not wrong with that. Would Ayton even get up the floor by the time they put up a shot? That would be my only worry, that
he'd be on the bench
would
if he
be
didn't.
Down the floor. Yeah.
Rick Carlisle's no nonsense.
I know. There's no doubt about it. It's fascinating, the decisions they have to make here, because if they can make the right decision in the next year or so, they can find a piece or pieces that can complement these stars or bring in another star, if you will, whoever would fit that mold, and they can be right there. I mean, this next step for them is absolutely fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, and I think that you could see that there's a lot to be excited about. The Pacers are ahead of schedule, you know, by all means. And maybe, you know, us fans, maybe we're just getting a little bit greedy to say, you know, we made a move, but that's not enough. You got to do something again. And I think you made a great point by saying, you know, earlier that the sample size on this team with Halliburton and Siakam is not large. I mean, you could see that it looks like they're starting to hit their stride a little bit. It's two straight wins for the Pacers, you know, beating – yeah, you know, a Charlotte and Houston team doesn't say that much, but at the same point, I think there is a lot to be excited about. And I think that this trade deadline, as much as it hurts me to say, it could be a bit underwhelming given the amount of big names that have already been moved this offseason. So I think that if the Pacers, you know, hang tight, I wouldn't be disappointed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I would agree. Sorry to interrupt, Alex. I wouldn't either. I mean, if they – again, I'm the radio guy, so I'll just come back and say, well, you know, why didn't you do something a couple months later? I'm kidding. But, no, for me, if they stayed where they are and they said, we're gonna work with this group, there was nothing out there for us that made sense. Listen, I think if there's something out there that made sense, they'll do the deal. Have the Pacers not shown that they will do the deal? It's almost like they're to the point to where – you talk about trusting them, trusting Carlisle, whatever it may be. The front office has something there that is in reach, and it makes sense. They'll do the deal. If they end up not doing anything, I think it's them saying, it's too rich for our blood. It doesn't make sense. The fit's not there. Why would we do this? I think it will be a valid reason if they end up not doing anything.
No, I totally agree. So, Andy, we've kept you longer than we said we would. So, I want to thank you for your time. I know you got to get up and get ready for your morning show. So thanks for hanging out with us a little bit later tonight, but go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you at. And you know, we know that you are from Louisville area, so IU basketball is not your favorite. So seeing them kind of struggle this year, I know it's been fun for you to be a radio host in Indiana and kind of casually throw shade at a really crappy Hoosiers team.
Well, I mean, they make it too easy. Now, I know this is on Thursday. We taped on Tuesday. I mean, they did come back from like 18 down against Ohio State, who, by the way, it needs to be said, what happened to Chris Holtmann in Ohio State?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
They used to get pros. And like, you know, Thad Matta and even into Chris Holtmann, they used to get legit dudes. And they stink.
Yeah.
Like, they're not very good. It's a big time state school that is used to play deep into March that is not good. But no, I mean, Indiana with a nice win. But I mean, I just, you watch like listen, on Tuesday you watch on one TV the Pacers with the pace they play and how they shoot and where they shoot it from, and you watch the archaic, musty offense of Mike Woodson.
Yeah,
I'm thinking who is, you know, multiple bigs, mid-range jumpers, can't shoot a three, can't make a free throw. And I'm like, what? I mean, literally, they're on a TV next to each other, and they could not be two more opposite styles of basketball between what the Pacers are throwing out there and what the Hoosiers are. It's unbelievable. But they did get a nice win on Tuesday. Good for them.
Yeah, it's like watching Pacers Knicks back in the 90s, but not really even that is. High of a level. It's like watching the G League Pacers Knicks, but of the 90s. But with that being said, Andy, I want people to know where they can find you at on social. So go ahead and throw your socials out. Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, at the only Sweeney. But main thing, yeah, come find me on there and harass me on there. I'm good for it. Got pretty thick skin on that. And yeah, I mean, just KB and Andy, find us. Wake up call 107.5, 93.5. Hook us up on the fans, 7 to 10. We'll be there hanging out with you.
Absolutely, Andy. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right. See you guys.